God. Yes, ma'am. Well, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. I was surprised to see you, you know, and praise God. You've got to keep on praying.
That's right.
Right? And the enemy wants you to shut up. He wants you to shut up. He'll tell you how much God's not listening, how God's not hearing. You know, the evil one wants you to go on how you feel. Okay, you don't go on how you feel. You go on the truth of God's promise. You know, if you believe upon the truth of God's promise, then you'll find the blessing of the Lord. You'll find the power of God. You'll find the Lord. You'll find the Lord. Everybody say, you'll find the Lord. You'll find the Lord. Okay, because He is faithful and true. And just as the word of the Lord says, there's just none like Him. Okay. There is just none like Him. Glory to God. Praise your holy, righteous name. Amen. I want you to be turning, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm going to continue a little series that I've been doing right here. And the title of this message is Holy is the Lord. I did Step Aside. And then last week was The Holy People of God. And it's all the same series, really. And holy is the Lord. I do want to say something. I've been intending to do this. You remember this? I haven't said anything for a while. This is our book to read, you know, for the year, right here. And this is called Holy in Christ by Andrew Murray. My gosh, what a book! What an incredible book! Oh my! I just really want to encourage you. And if you've read it, go read it again, right? That's what I love to do. I read, and I'm not out to start with page one and see how fast I can get through it, you know, and everything like that. I'll read, and then I even skip around a lot. That's what I do. But I'll read the whole book, and then I'll go back and read again, and then I'll go back and read again. And then what a lot of times I'll do is I'll take what I read. I do this with Scripture, but I also do it with books. And I'll read, and then I'll pray about what I read. I'll take that, because something hit me, and I thought, okay. And then I'm going to lift it in prayer. I want to tell you, this would be a great tool. Those things and those ways are a great tool for you to grow by, okay? And, you know, that's how you grow. That's how you grow. You want to see more of the Lord, okay? You got to put something forward. If you want to see more of the Lord, you got to put something forward, all right? You know, so I want to just lift that up to you and just remind you of that. And if you haven't gotten it and you haven't read it, it'll be a blessing to you. Holy in Christ by Andrew Murray. All right, so praise the name of the Lord. We're going to look at here. We're looking at the subject of holiness. My goodness, what an old, ancient, antiquated subject, huh? It's almost completely disappeared from the church. It's almost completely disappeared from Christians' lives. It's almost as if it's not even an issue anymore in any form or any fashion. And yet you find the subject of the holiness of God, and not only the holiness of God, but the holiness of the people of God. And you see this subject all the way from the beginning, all the way through into the book of Revelation. And it's so important for us to understand that this is an important issue for us that are in Christ Jesus. I hope to dispel some of the things and ways that we've thought about holiness. And, you know, the enemy has attacked holiness so much. So, and the reason is so that you won't possess it. Because he knows that this is where you're going to find the real true power of God. You know, how do we talk about God without talking about that God is holy? You know, how do we talk about being a Christian without understanding that the will of the Lord is that we possess the holiness of the Lord? You know, we want to talk about the Spirit, but do we not really fully realize that He is the Holy Spirit, right? You know, so that you understand that His very character and His very nature, which is obviously the very character and nature of the Lord our God, you know, is holy. You know, we like to separate the power of God from holiness and from the holy work of the Holy Spirit. I'd be very careful to do that if I were you. I'd be very, very careful with that. You know, if I see the display of power, but I don't see the holy character, you do what you want, but I'm going the other direction, okay? I'm going the other direction because the very nature of the power of God is holy. Now, I want you to see this. So the evil one has sought to rob the people of God from the holiness of the Lord. And it's not an old, antiquated subject. It's not for people in bygone days, you know. It's not in this modern day of Christianity, right? You know, I told you one time I had a lady say to me, you know, God needs to update that book. Yeah. I need to modernize it, you know. God needs to modernize that book, you know. And she doesn't know what she's saying, does she? You know, in any form or any fashion, you know. But God is holy, and He remains holy. I'm just going to care. I love this. I know you've read it many times. In Isaiah chapter 6, this is the vision of Isaiah. You know, it's a well-known chapter. I'm sure you've read it many times, and you know well of it. But it's the vision of God the Father in the throne room. And this was the vision that Isaiah the prophet received. And it starts here in verse 1 of Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. You know, the train of royalty, the train of a king, what would that would be? That it would, his length would depend upon his accomplishments and his conquering power and his victories. And many times what would happen is that the train of a king would become longer because that they would take the train of another king, right? And they would add it to their train, right? And so the more that they conquered, then the longer the train became. You know, and I want you to see the picture of what Isaiah saw. You know, he said that right here that with the train of his robe, it filled the temple. You know, speaks of the overwhelming glory, the overwhelming life and victory of God the Father, that He is truly the Lord of all. You know, one of the most amazing things to me is that His love is so great and so incredible that He seeks for us to share in His holiness. This is what the Holy Spirit does when He comes into the life of the believer, you know, is to make us holy so that we can live for the Lord. You know, that's what really that word holy, is really to be separate for the Lord. And too much of that has disappeared from the church. And because of that, you know, I'll be honest with you, the regular, normal, everyday Christian sitting in the pew knows very little about the victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the victorious life has been replaced with church activity. You know, be a church attender. Oh, it's good to be a church attender. There's something wrong with you if you love the Lord and you're not a church attender. I'll just be honest with that. You know, because you live a different kind of life and you want to be with those of like heart and those that are of like mind. You know, you want to be before the Lord. You want to be in the presence of God and those that love God. We got enough going on out there in the world to deal with, don't we? You know, that you get out there and live for yourself and you follow your own heart, proclaim to love Jesus, but you don't have anything to do with the people of God, there's a problem. There's a problem right there. You know, so praise God for church. I love being here. I love going to church. Ever since I gave my whole heart to the Lord, I've always gone to church, you know, through the thick and the thin of it, right? You know, because that's the way it just is sometimes. But because of loving the Lord, you know, but that's not what makes you holy, and it doesn't bring the victorious life to you. What brings the victorious life to you is the holiness of Almighty God. The Spirit of the Lord begins to bring His character and His nature, His life into you. And if you wanted to know what is the expression of that character and that nature of the Lord, and as it becomes to be able to live holy before the Lord. It don't matter how bad the days get. It don't matter how hard the temptations would be. You know, the power of God is to separate you for His own possession, you know, that you may be able to live for the Lord. That's what it really means to live for the Lord. You know, that you're loving the Lord and that you're following the Lord. And I'm going to say another old word that a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with. And you have a heart after obeying the Lord. You know, let's don't talk about loving God and you don't obey God. Let's don't talk about, you know, I love Jesus, but I live in sin. You know, you're deceived. Okay? You're deceived and you're living a deceived life. And you need to understand that. I'm not saying, you know, that well, you're talking about a sinless life. No, but I'm not preparing for sin. I'm preparing for victory. Right? There's too many people preparing for sin, right? You know, and want to excuse a sinful life. I don't excuse a sinful life in my own life. I repent. You know, that's what I do. I repent and I keep on repenting before the Lord until God takes it in hand and gets rid of it. Are you with me there? You know, but we've come to the place where we've removed the holy standards of God and the call of holiness from the church and understanding that the God that we serve is a holy God. And if we're called to share in the nature of the Lord, then surely if we're going to share in the nature of the Lord, then what we find as an expression of that nature is the holiness of the Lord. And so we understand that God is holy. Let's go on here. Let me read a little bit more. He goes in verse 2 and he says seraphim. And the seraphim are a very hierarchy angelic group of angels. And the seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. Look at this description. You know, this is the holy angels of the Lord. This is the seraphim. And it says, each having six wings. With two, he look at this, he covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. So do you understand? He's not allowing any of himself to be exposed before the Lord. You know, he's covering his face and he all the way down and two wings covering his feet. You know, and this is the seraphim that are before the Lord. And with the other two wings, what he's doing is that he's flying around, right? You know, he's got six wings. With two, he's covered his face. And with two, he's covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And then verse 3, it says, and look at this. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Can you get that picture right there? This is it. This is what Isaiah saw going on, activity going on in the throne room of Almighty God. The seraphim, the highest ranking of the angels, being present there, flying about. And they covered their faces and they covered their feet so that none of them was being exposed before God within themselves. And then they were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then notice it says, the whole earth is full of his glory. I'll just tell you this, is that, you know, remember the first message that we did here with this series in Exodus chapter 3. You know, this is when Moses, you know, when that he was attending the flock of Jethro. And then there was the burning bush. Now, then the fire is always represented in the holiness of Almighty God. It's one of the characterizations, one of the characteristics of the holiness of the Lord, is that it brings the fire of Almighty God. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute here, you know, but that's what happened there with Moses. And then it said there, back there in Exodus 3, it said that Moses saw the sight and he stepped aside so that he could look at it. You know, from what he was doing. And you know, he had the flock of Jethro, right? And he's got busy things to do and the like. And then it says, when the Lord saw that he stepped aside, then the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Boy, what a picture that is for you and I, right? You know, you have to ask yourself what would have happened if Moses hadn't stepped aside. You know, God's waiting for a lot of times for you and I to step aside. And, you know, and this is where you'll find the work of the Holy Spirit to make holy. You know, it's not living by rules. It's not living by regulations. You know, it's the work of grace. It's the work of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The more you give yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take control of you, He is the Spirit of the Lord, but He's the Holy Spirit of the living God. And I want to tell you right now, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to get holy. You'll get holy. And I'll tell you, not only will you get holy, but you'll love being holy. It's a sweet thing. It really is a sweet thing. You know, but notice that they're crying out, and then it says the whole earth is full of His glory. If you step aside, if you say, I want to find the Lord, I want to find the Lord, I'm telling you, you will find the Lord, and you will find His glory. And that's what He's saying right there. Some say, where is the glory? I don't know. I don't see it or whatever. You know, but God, yes, He does hear your prayers the minute you call upon the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you something else. You know, this easy spirit with easy believism, you know, where, you know, you don't have to do any seeking. You don't have to turn to the Lord. That's where you're going to find Him, and that's where you're going to find the true glory of God. I want to encourage you in that. You know, you don't just bump into God in the middle of the night. You seek Him. And if you seek Him, He says and gives it as a promise, you will find Him. You will find Him. You know, but you need to seek Him. You know, that the whole earth is full. Now, look at verse 4. And the foundations of the threshold, right? You know, of the throne room right here. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. You notice that, so those angels, as they would cry out to one another, and they would be speaking, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then another one would cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I got a feeling they couldn't get over the holiness of God, don't you? I think they were kind of awestruck, don't you, by the holiness of this God. That they sing out for all eternity. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. I ain't got nothing else to say, but holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's what these seraphim are doing. No. And then it goes on and says, and the threshold of the throne room shook. Goodness. God must be holy. And there's too much. And that's why we need to stick to the Word. And the Word is eternal. The promises of God are eternal. Also, all of its commands are eternal. And the holiness of the Lord is eternal. You know, God does not change. Isn't that neat, though? You know, I want to tell you something. I probably said this to you before. If you ever get this in your heart, if you need it, I'm telling you, to transform your life. Totally, completely transform your life. No one loves you the way that Jesus loves you. No one can love you the way that Jesus loves you. No one will ever love you the way that Jesus loves you. If you let that come into your heart by the power of God, you will find more liberty and more freedom than you ever dreamed. You'll quit looking to other people to make you happy. You'll quit holding other people accountable for your happiness, for your good, or for your well-being. You'll quit getting disappointed when you think that people are not loving you the way that they ought to love you. And they may not be loving you the way they ought to love you, but you're just as frail as they are, okay? You're just as frail as they are, and we all tend to fail at a lot of different things. And we fail to love our loved ones the way that maybe we ought to love. You know, we fail to say the things that we ought to say when we ought to say it, or whatever it would be, and on and on and on. And then you live in nothing but a big bunch of upheaval all your life. And it's not God. It's not what God has for you. No one loves you the way that Jesus loves you. No one can love you the way that Jesus loves you. No one ever will love you the way that Jesus loves you. And this is where great liberty, great freedom comes into the life of a person and an individual. Robbing you of your contentment, robbing you of your happiness, robbing you of your joy because you're wounded and because you're hurt and because you're disappointed, because you're mad, because you're angry, because of this, because of that, and then you end up, that's how you end up living your life. Jesus takes it away. Now, wait a minute. He takes it away in his holiness. You know, not just because you became Christian, because I know a lot of Christians that still live right there, okay? That's where they live. They live right there. They live in all of that fleshly sensory, and it dictates to them as to who they are and what they are moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, and week by week. And when somebody begins to talk about the joy of the Lord, all it is just words on a page. They don't know anything about what you're really, truly talking about. I know I'm supposed to have it. I know that God says He'll give it, but I don't have a clue what you're talking about because I don't have any of it. But in the holiness of God, you'll find that true joy of the Lord. You know, so then the smoke comes up. That I said, that fire, let me read on in verse 5. It says, then I said, now I want you to see something. See, the wonderful blessings that come by the power of the Holy Spirit to make holy is that you get your eyes open the way that God wants them to be open. You'll be able to see things the way that God sees them and lets you see them the way they really are. Isn't it amazing to have the depth of self-deception? You know, the depth of self-deception is that how one will see themselves completely different from the way they really are. You know, right? You know, God allows you to see clearly. You know, and that enables you and me to be able to follow down the path of life, that we can follow the Lord and we can have a handle on true reality for ourselves and for our lives and where we really are and what we really need. And then we can call on the name of the Lord in that kind of spirit, in that kind of heart. That's what comes through holiness and from the Holy Spirit working that holiness in you, in the life of in the heart of the believer. You know, that's the blessing that comes. It's not reliving by rules and by regulations within themselves and such, but it's the very life of God that comes forth. And notice what happened here. There's two things that happened. Number four in verse 4 is that the temple was filled with smoke, the fire of Almighty God, the real true fire Let's don't talk about loving the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. You know, when the whole attitude of spirit is nothing but ho-hum toward the things of God. God sets the heart of his people on fire for him. And it propels them forward. Causes them to overcome obstacles, you know. Versus so many Christians that live, oh, I stumped my toe. You know, spiritually speaking, I stumped my toe. You know, I can't do nothing. I can't go forward. You know, and then that's not an overcoming spirit, is it? You know, you find an overcoming spirit by the work of holiness. You know, other than that, you're dependent upon your flesh to try to overcome, and you live a defeated life. You live a defeated life, not a victorious life. God gives you victory, gives you possession. Now, so that fire of God, and then the other thing that fire does, it sets your heart on fire for him. You know, your heart is on fire for Jesus. And then the second thing it does is that it burns up all the chaff. It burns up the chaff. You know, that fire of God will set you free in things that you could never be set free of before. You know, and that's what happened here with Isaiah in the vision. In verse 5, after he saw these things, and he saw the holiness of Almighty God, and he saw the seraphim and their reaction to the holiness of God, and then the smoke that was rising up within the temple, and then his eyes are open. His eyes are open. He sees with such wonderful clarity, and this is what he says in verse 5. Then he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." You know, the two things that happened here is that he saw himself as he really is before God in light of that holiness, and it brought about a spirit and a heart of repentance to turn away from that which was not of God. He had noticed that he didn't want to have anything to do with it. If it wasn't of God, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And there was a power there in spirit and a power in heart. Oh, Lord, I'm ruined. I'm ruined. If I'm left to me, then I'm ruined. But he wasn't left to himself. And then the next thing that is, he cries out, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. He wasn't being accusatory. No, now he had the burden of God. Oh, it's not just me. Oh, how we need you so, Lord God. Oh, I need you so. Oh, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, they need you so, oh, Lord God. And that burden of God is filling the prophet's heart, that where he's not only crying out about his own need, but he's also crying out for the need of others, because this is the true treasure of Almighty God, is the souls of men. The true treasure of God is the souls of men. See, God's not impressed with what man's impressed with. Are you with me there? You know, his treasure souls and the spiritual condition of others. And this is what holiness does. Holiness doesn't create isolation and a holier-than-thou mentality and attitude. You know, that's a spirit of religion that's come to replace true holiness into a religious spirit of holiness. And the evil one has perpetrated this so that the saints of God will look at holiness and say, man, I don't want to have anything to do with that. You know? I won't be as gentle as I can be, but you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. And that is, you know, I could spot a holiness woman walking down the street 3 miles away without having talking to her, just by the way she looks and the way she dresses. Then that's called holiness. No, it's not. You can dress like that all day long, but you're not holy because you dress that way. Now, if she dresses that way because in her heart before the Lord to be holy, that's perfectly fine. But too much of it is a denominational standard that has nothing to do with the heart whatsoever. Because that's not going to make you holy. Now, we all agree with modest dressing, don't we? Right? I said it last Sunday. We don't need it hanging out everywhere. We're not free in Jesus because we let it hang out everywhere. Are you with me there? No, that's not freedom, you know? So, you know, there's a place of reason here, is there not? You know, there's a place of reason here. And we need to understand that about the holiness of Almighty God. You know, but that was the heart of the prophet. And the real true holiness of God brings the transforming power of God into your life. It's not an outward look or a performance. It's an inward heart. And, you know, and let me tell you this. You know, the things of what your heart will reflect outwardly as well. Do you understand that? You know, this is what makes it so difficult, because it may change your dressing, right? Are you with me there? Okay. It may change your dressing. It may do those things, you know, that, you know, and it's all because of that holiness of Almighty God. So it becomes difficult. The evil one wants to use it against the church in any way that he can. So a lot of times when we think about the holiness of the Lord, you know, the way it's been so marred, we see it as rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts, hard living, oppression, a life with no fun, right? I guess it all depends. Well, number one, we need to define fun, right? But God likes to have fun. He really does. He is the epitome of happiness. He truly is. Another thing, think of strictness or a disciplinarian lifestyle. You know, sternness. You know, sternness, the quality of being serious or strict. Well, I'm going to tell you this much. No. God's not stern. Holiness is not stern. But the church today has gone the opposite direction of all that. You know the seeker-friendly church mentality and lifestyle, right? You know, it's like, how casual can we get? We need to be serious seekers of God. And that fire causes a seriousness heart to lay hold of the Lord. Not a casual spirit. You're not free because you're casual. I went to a conference in California, and boy, they were really hip on what is in the forefront of Christian churches today. I'll never forget it. The place was packed out. Went in there. Here's the preacher. He's up there preaching and everything, you know. And I kept hearing a noise, and I didn't realize, because there was a lot of people there. Because I came in a side door, and I didn't realize it. I kept hearing this noise, and it was going, what in the world? And then I happened to look up, and I looked into the back of the corner of the church, and there was the coffee bar where they were making the lattes. Go to Starbucks and have your latte. But let's be serious seekers after the heart of God. Let's let that fire that he's talking about right here consume our hearts. Now, it's like we can't be serious anymore. We can't have a serious spirit anymore. You know, we're really on fire for God for the, you know, how casual we can get. This is not true. And as a result of that, the church is robbed of the power of God. You know, the church is robbed of the power of God. And the reason is because we've let go of the holiness of the Lord. You know, I'll finish up here, but let me say this, is that what is found, I wrote this down, what is found in holy living, okay? What is found in holy living before the Lord? You know, I'm going to tell you the essence of it. Here's the essence. Are you ready? This is the essence of holy living before the Lord. The sweetness of his love. There it is. What is the essence of holy living before the Lord? It's the sweetness of his love. When holiness comes into your life, what do you experience? The sweetness of His love. A reality. That's what happened here to the prophet, was a reality came. Let me read on from there. Verse 5, then he said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now look at verse 6, and then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. I mean, when the Spirit brings and works deep with the holy life of the Lord in the believer, it removes the deep things that I don't know what to do about. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how many times. Maybe you've said this. I don't know. Maybe you're probably not around anybody, but you said it under your breath. You said it to yourself. Why am I like that? Why am I like that? Why did I do that? What is wrong with me? We won't really do that around people, but to ourselves. That's the deep things that the Spirit touches in the bringing of His holiness. And He begins to touch those things that we don't know how to get rid of or to change. They may be with activities of sin, but they may be, this is where it gets worse, connected to my personality. I don't know. I don't know why I'm like that. I don't know. And when you don't know what to do, you're pretty helpless, aren't you? But see, this holy God with this Holy Spirit begins to come in, and He doesn't just touch the outside or the surface. He goes and runs deep in the inside. And He runs deep into the inside, and He has a mission. His mission is to remove everything that doesn't look like Jesus. His mission is to remove everything about you in your life that is of a detriment, that is of a destructive nature. Do you know how many people go through relationship after relationship after relationship and after relationship? You know, because they go from one relationship and they're just the same when they go into the next one. And then they got the same habits and they got the same ways and they got the same attitudes and they got the same mentalities and they got those same things that are in them that are destructive to relationships. And then that one's over. Then do you want to live your life like that? You don't have to. The Spirit removes them. See, that's why. Let me finish here. But so when you talk about holiness, or you talk about, you know, a holy life, you know, you find a lot being said in the Old Testament. But then when you come into the New Testament, it does talk about a holy life and talks about the believer possessing the holiness of God. But a lot of times it's referred to as the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to have you to possess it. I'm going to come on down here for a minute. So, what does holiness affect in my life? Well, it'll affect what I hear. It will affect what I see.
And the real hard one.
It's going to affect that right there. Yes. That thing right there.
Which the James says gets set on fire by hell. You ever heard of the phrase before, you're shooting yourself in the foot? Yeah. Right? You shoot yourself in the foot. I shot myself in the foot with that one. See, because God removes destruction. He moves it out of you. Okay? And does my behavior change? Yes. I don't want to hear that no more. Okay? I don't want to listen to that. I don't watch that junk. You know, I got better things to do than that. I got a living God to walk with. So holy desire comes. You change. But you're not by rules and regulations. Are you with me? It's a heart change. It's a heart change. You know? I don't watch them stupid programs anymore. Good Lord, how have I been wasting my life? I've been wasting my life watching that stupid junk. That's what you start thinking like, you know. I don't need to be entertained every single second that I'm awake. Because I got a holy God to walk with. He changes you. So desires change. Activities change. You become holy. Don't run from the holiness of the Lord. Don't reject it. Embrace it. Walk after it. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Now, I prayed, and I'm going to close here. Kathy, why don't y'all come on? Would you do that? And as they're coming right here. Last week, you know, of that fountain of pure water, remember that? You know, that fountain of pure water flowing. Or to purchase, okay? It comes of two root words, and those two root words is, first of all, the first root word is peri, P-E-R-I. Well, it means around. It means about. It means upon, and it means in the midst of, okay? You know that? And then the second root word there is emi, and that is E-I-M-I. Emi, and it means to exist, it means that I am, or to appear, or to appear. This is God being among His people. This is what we find with the holiness of the Lord. Kathy, y'all come on, okay?